GAA on Off the Ball.
We're turning to events at Croke Park over the weekend. Billy Joe Patton with us and Kieran Donaghy as well. The lingering memory, Kieran, is those 12 Dublin minutes on Saturday, I think. That's what everybody's talking about today.
Yeah, I was right behind it, looking out from the corner of the Canal End, and it was so impressive. Just how direct they were, how accurate everything was to hand. They're so strong taking you on up front. The point kicking by Paul Mannion, the goals by Con Callaghan, Kilkenny going deep, getting on loads of ball again, pressing up on the kick out, boxing everything in, and just keeping the onslaught coming basically. And obviously then Fintan in the middle of the field running the whole show was a joy to watch his performance out there. He's a classist, really.
We were sort of saying for Mayo fans in the stadium, the air probably went out of the place and Dublin fans just got carried away in the momentum of the whole thing. There wasn't very much Mayo could have done in the midst of it all, bar somebody thinking to go down injured and trying to disrupt the momentum of it.
Yeah, maybe going short, Joe, maybe really looking to engineer a short kick out and just get on the ball and... Maybe Rob Henley to come out a bit and play as the extra man back there for a second and just take the sting out of it and see if you can work your way up and get a score. I guess, you know, people talk about responding to goals and, you know, are coming under the wave of attack from goals. You know, if you're a team and you concede a goal, there should be almost a set thing in your head as a unit that, okay, we've conceded a goal, we're going to knock this kick out short. Let the goalie come out and play as a bit of an extra man for a second, pop the ball around, take the sting out of it, and then work it up the pitch and see if you can be really patient and almost treat it like it's very early in the game, that first attack where you really want to get on the scoreboard and you try and work a high percentage shot or get a free.
Yeah,
I think that's what they needed to do. But that's fine saying that, you know, that has to be well prepped. Maybe they might have had some plans. I'm not sure. I'm not aware of the dinner symptoms of the setup, but like, you know, for me, it had to be, shot kick out had to be engineered and you had to go up and just get a point after that first Dublin goal. But, you know, it was kick out long after kick out long.
Well, when you watch it back, Billy Joe, after the first Conlon goal, Henley's kick out, it was his worst kick out, you know, kind of his worst kick out of that period straight after the Con first goal. He kicked it straight to Brian Howard, like it bounced into Brian Howard's hands. And luckily, there was a scully wide, but it did add in the stadium and probably on the field to this sense of panic and Dublin momentum. Then Henley went again. He went long. It was a 50-50 ball. Dublin turned it over because Durkin actually did win it, but Dublin turned him over. Scully was kind of put in on goal eventually. That was 11 points to 8 on 39 minutes. And then the next three went long, and that's when the Fintan show took over. He won one, and then Fintan set up Mannion for that beautiful point way out on the left-hand touchline. That was 12-8. And then long again, it was a 50-50 ball, which Dublin won. Con free, knocked over by Rock. And then there was the third one, which was it was a massive moment. The Fintan mark out on the right-hand side. And he puts that brilliant foot pass into Con O'Callaghan. It's worked out to Mannion, tight enough angle over the bar. And that was the 1-5 in 7 minutes. And at that stage, Mayo were behind by 6. It was 14 points to 8. And 6 points in the context of a brilliant first half only amounting to 8 points for Mayo. That was kind of game done after 7 minutes of the second half, Billy Joe.
No doubt. You describe it very well. I think that it's quite clear that you can pinpoint the problems Mayo had in that period in their inability to win possession. Part of what they did so well in the first half was holding on to possession and frustrating Dublin and not taking risks with it and being able to take time off the clock by having possession and recycling and going backwards. And it's you cannot afford on your own kick out against Dublin if you want to compete with them to lose kick outs in a row. If you start losing 2 or 3 in a row, they're going to kill you because they're going to get scores because it's that much easier to score following a set piece. I was in a quite a good position in the Hogan stand to see, you know, what were their opportunities to get short kick outs, and it was extremely difficult. You have to hand them to the way Dublin, their zonal system of pressure high up the field, they didn't really leave any gaps. Their halfbacks were way up the field, really squeezing Mayo in. And I think what happened with Mayo a lot is that Rob Henley was trying to find a short kick out. His seconds were ticking away, couldn't get it. And then when he realised he had to go long, players like Shamey O'Shea and Aidan O'Shea were in bad positions because they probably had made a run for a short kick out. And that left some of the, you know, Fintan was standing out there lording it, and him coming on with the pace and the power that he has to those 50-50 kickouts, he was always going to be favourite. So I think sometimes in that situation, you can't fall between two stools. You have to decide you're going to either squeeze a short kick out, take that huge risk that it is, or else you decide that you have to go long, that it's too risky to go short. And in that situation, you go as long as you can, and you have to hit it to an area where you have significant numbers. So at the very least, if you can't win the break, that you're in a good position to defend and maybe even try and foul and just break up Dublin's momentum. And Mayo were unable to do any of those things. And really, when it was getting away from them in that period, maybe you look and think, well, is there anything you could do? Would bringing Andy Moran on just change the dynamic in the crowd? You know, any sort of, as somebody going down injured, would anything like that have stemmed Dublin's momentum? I'm not sure it would.
No.
But maybe it was something that should have been tried.
I must say, it was one of the quickest 12 minutes, Kieran, I think I've ever experienced at a sporting event.
Yeah, it was. I think that's the point we're probably trying to make it. That's what it felt like. And I'm sure if you were out on the pitch for a Dublin player, it must have been some buzz to be in that kind of a momentum surge.
Yeah.
With 50 or 60,000 people cheering you on. That must be a huge buzz for those boys. And they feed off it, you know. And against Dublin, is most important that you have a plan to kind of settle down after something happens. Because, you know, every other team you might get a chance to get away with it, but you don't get away with it with the four-time All-Ireland champions and the team that, you know, look like they're kind of almost destined in a way to get this over the line, because every time they're challenged or any time a game is close, they just find a way to win. And, you know, at halftime, Mayo must have been really happy with their performance. And as you say, within 12 minutes, it's you're thinking about, you know, well, you're thinking about going home and you're thinking about this is over. It must have been really hard for those boys to soldier on for that last 25 minutes when they knew the uphill battle they had.
Billy Joe, you made the point in the first half, Mayo took the sting out of the game with possession. And certainly at the stadium, that would have been my sense too, that this must have been very much the Mayo plan. The more time we have the ball, the less time Dublin have the ball. We'll calmly work our scores. They might even get a bit frustrated. And at times they definitely got frustrated and there were groans from the crowd. And, you know, you kind of thought, well, there'd be this marriage of frustration and also the nerves of the five in a row being on the line in knockout football for the first time all year. And that would have been my sense. But it was interesting on the Sunday game last night, the highlights show, they showed a few instances where James Horne on the sideline was like frantically pointing up towards kind of James Carr territory as if to say, we need to start kicking the ball in more. You know, you think of the Galway performance where they work the ball, foot passes up the line. So I'd be really interested in the next couple of days to get a sense if Horne was ever come out, you know, wanted to be honest about it. Did he feel they hung onto the ball too much? Were they not adventurous enough in that first half, or did it all go to plan?
I think a whole lot of it went to plan. I think there were opportunities to get the ball into James Carr in particular, because he had the edge on Fitzsimons in terms of that pace and power. He's a great athlete. And he did find himself in space at the time. But there was situations where maybe the Mayo ball carrier outfield didn't feel confident playing that 50-50 ball. And I don't blame them for that, because what Mayo did so well in that first half was what they had done well in the past against Mayo and those All-Irelands, where they'd really pushed Dublin all the way for the 70 minutes. And I think if you start kicking the ball in too early, you start creating those turnovers, well, then Dublin will cut you to shreds. And it wasn't for me that Dublin were playing poorly in the first half. Dublin, I think, since the Donegal defeat all those years ago, have become quite cautious in the early stages of games. They really have a look at their opponent. Mm. And I think as much as anything to do with the quality of their second half performance, I think that Jim Gavin or the players themselves decided that they're going to have to up it. They're going to have to take more risks to beat Mayo. They played much more direct ball into the edge of the square. They took the risk of pushing their half-back high up the field, and that paid off for them, whereas Mayo just couldn't live with that. Mm. I probably don't accept the narrative that Mayo could have maybe gone in ahead much more than what they were, because Dublin weren't really making mistakes. They didn't give up a goal chance. They still defended reasonably well throughout that first half and made it very difficult for Mayo to create those openings. So I don't think Mayo missed an opportunity there. But I just think it shows what a difficult task you have of beating Dublin, where you have to play that kind of football. It's like playing football on a knife edge, where you know if you fall off for a minute or two, they could score 1-4, 1-5 and the game's up. So it is really that tense right the way through, and that's the challenge that Kerry will have in a couple of weeks.
Kieran, did Mayo legs come into it at all? Did they put so much into the first half they were caught they were just caught a little bit off the pace, or would that be searching for too much of an excuse?
Yeah, no, that's searching for an excuse in my eyes. I think they were, you know, no doubting him that it was tough with the 6-day turnaround, but I think where the game was last, you know, was right after half time. You know, they would have been, they would have been, you know, that if it happened, if it was a really tight game, Joe, and Dublin put on that spurt in the last 10 minutes, absolutely, I'd give the players the benefit of the doubt from Mayo, because they have worked extremely hard to get here. They've travelled a really hard road, had some big games to get up to, including beating Galway below in Limerick, beating Donegal and Castlebar. They're huge kind of emotional kind of wins, and to come down from the high of last week in Castlebar, and it was amazing, the performance they put on up there. You know, that would have been tough, but I think where the game was won and last, I wouldn't put it down to tiredness.
Yeah. So, and Kieran, like, so some of the matchups in the first half just couldn't have gone better for Mayo. You know, I'd say they were looking at, you didn't think Conn was going to score two goals on Keegan based on the first half, for instance. I presume you didn't anyway. Durkin on McCaffrey, even Harrison was kind of doing okay on Mannion under the circumstances. Boyle kicked a great point, he was sweeping away. James Carr, the better of things. Aidan O'Shea, the big influence. You might, like, is your read of that first half as well that Mayo kind of pretty much had everything go their way and it went to plan for them?
Yeah, I think it was. I think they were doing a good job. They were excellent at the back at holding them up. And if you look at Dublin's second goal, you know, I made the point on Sky at half time that, or at the end of the game, that nearly I would have, when Conn gets that ball and he's half turned and you're one on one in a rake of space, I think, you know, the natural instinct for a defender and the natural instinct that Lee went, which is completely, you know, the norm, he went in for the tackle to try and turn him over, and Conn stepped inside him with a little shimmy that was glorious, and gave the keeper the eyes and rolled it into the opposite corner for the second time in a matter of minutes. You know, I think when he gets that in that position, I'd almost kind of like just shadow him, take a step off him, and, you know, hope he kicks a point, or that it takes him a bit longer to beat you, that allows your defenders to get back in on top and, you know, look for a turnover. Like, they got many of them in the first half, Joe. That's what they were excellent at. They were holding him up. The cavalry was coming. Boyle, Durkin was amazing, breaking up the play, getting in, getting ball, coming out with all the 50-50 balls. Aidan O'Shea was having a stormer in the middle of the pitch. James Carr was flying up front, and Killian O'Connor was being industrious as ever. And in fairness to Dermot O'Connor, while he didn't have a star-studded game, he was around the place, he was working, he was linking play. And, you know, they were doing everything right in that first half. But unfortunately for them, and we know it's a real strength in Dublin, and this team for the last number of years is their start to the second half. And, you know, we had it with Kerry back in 06 and 07. It was, you know, we were really good right after half time, and you know, it's you felt each other out, you've got the half time in, John, it's time to go win a game, and that's what Dublin did to Mayo.
And when Kerry were at that stage and really good after half time, is that a concerted effort or plan, or is it just the way things tend to work?
No, it would be a focus. You know, you'd have felt everybody out. You'd have made your changes if there was any little switches to make, which often happen in the game. And, you know, you just kind of feel more settled going back out onto the pitch. And then, of course, you have to up the ante. You have to up the aggression. You have to up the accuracy. Your passes have got to go to hand. And you just got to start being clinical up front and taking your chances. And we even saw it with Kerry the second day, you know, how clinical they were in the second half. Yeah. That's what you know you need to do against the Dublin to have any hope at all of being in the game. And unfortunately, you know, when they come with that run, it's just hard to stop.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts at half time? Tyrone 9 points, Kerry 5 points yesterday.
I was hoping that, you know, they were going to make a few changes. And yeah, I just to kind of freshen it up and just to be more accurate, they were a bit sloppy in the first half. They were hand-passing it to each other. It was bouncing twice before the guy got it. There was a few foot passes that trickled along the ground. You know, just you can't be at that in an All-Ireland semi-final. And I think in the second half, they improved that, and they improved their accuracy. And all of a sudden, everything was going to hand. And, you know, you saw Kerry get a bit of momentum. And, you know, you saw them starting to kick into gear. And, you know, the forward unit in the second half were outstanding and given a platform by David Moore and Jack Sherwood. And, you know, I thought Tadhg Morley defensively was an absolute rock.
Mm. So Morley moved on to McShane at one stage, because it seemed to be Jason Foley on McShane and then Paul Murphy really far, not deep enough as a sweeper, like sort of no man's land, maybe anticipating runners, but he was very easy to kick over into Colin McShane.
Yeah, he just, it's such a tough position to master, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't think it's something that they'll do against Dublin. I think they'll might try and kind of look to force him down the wings like the Dublin team were doing, and push him down the wings and let the guys in the opposite side be the kind of help defenders and the guys that'll try and get across to take out an angle of a pass. I think Dublin are too smart to play against that. And, you know, Tyrone exposed it yesterday at stages. But in fairness to Morley and Foley, you know, Colin McShane is the on-farm forward and he's been brilliant all year. And he was, you know, he's a hard man to handle one-on-one. And that's what Jason had a lot of the time. And it just, you know, we didn't have a sweeper deep enough that could go double quick enough. And he was trying to also be very wary, which you have to be, to give Paul credit. You have to be wary of Sludden and these fellas flying through the middle, McGeary, and, you know, you have to be ready for them as well. So you have to be ready to step up or step back. And I think there's a bit of trust there for Peter Keane on Foley and Morley. And although they had tough times and Jason was taken off, you know, I think there was 9 or 10 balls kicked into the pair of them in the first half. And he came away with half of them. But the only problem was for him was McShane got 3 points and 2 assists off it. So it looked like he was slaughtering him, but really Foley was battling away. He was fisting ball out. He got to 1 or 2 out in front, and he battled away manfully with him. And Morley was the very same on Matty Donnelly for a lot of it, and kind of almost kind of snuffed out Matty to the point where Tyrone brought him out the pitch. And then when Jason Foley went off, Morley moved back onto McShane, and you know McShane did get him in along the end line for and Tyrone can look back in that. He'll know that's something he has to work on. You can't let them in along the in line at that stage. You got to force them back into where the help is. And that hand pass, Gavin White actually did really well in kind of holding off Peter Hart as they were both turning in the air, showed great strength. And it just made Peter Hart kind of fluff at it a small bit. And Shane Ryan was excellent getting across to sweep it up. And that was at a pivotal moment in the game. So that was a huge kind of turnaround for Kerry.
Yeah. Billy Joe, I'll get your thoughts on Kerry in a second and how they're going to match up against Dublin. It's kind of difficult to know how Tyrone are to feel about this. You know, there's talk about Mickey Hart's future. And so Tyrone, 11 defeats in their 11 games against Mayo, Dublin or Kerry over the last 11 years. That's been the story of their situation since they won the All-Ireland in 08, when they beat all three of those teams, you know? And so in the face of it, you would have to say there is a limitation to the Hart approach, and people are making the argument, well, somebody else deserves a chance. Other big names in the county have done good work at underage level, and maybe just a new voice in there might be what's needed, or a more attacking approach. By the same token, he has rebuilt a team again in that period where there's inevitably going to be a bit of a mucky period and a bit of a downturn as you get a new batch of players up to speed. They were in an All-Ireland final last year, a semi-final this year. They'll probably get back to a similar stage again and have another crack at things. They're in the Dublin era. Like, it's not like things have kind of ground to a halt under Mickey Hart. And if he was only in the job 3, 4, 5 years at this stage, you'd say, well, he absolutely deserves another year. So I'm genuinely quite torn on how to look at the Hart situation.
I think the people in Tyrone will have a good feeling about what they want, because they'll understand the success that Mickey has brought to Tyrone. And I think you're right. When you have to look at the limitations Tyrone have had over those years against the other contenders, and you're kind of trying to figure out, well, what is the reason? Is it down to his coaching, or is it down to the players on the field? And at halftime yesterday, Tyrone were in a brilliant position. They played really good football. They had a good game plan. They were kicking the ball in a lot into their forward line a lot earlier than I expected, a lot earlier than maybe they had done in other games, and it was really paying off for them. But in the second half, if you're playing a team equally as good as you, sometimes you need that player to stand up and grab the game by the scruff of the neck. And while McShane was excellent in the first half, and he's had an unbelievable year, he snatched at a couple of opportunities in the second half. You know, and Peter Hart or Matty Donnelly, players like that, went out of the game. Whereas if you look at what Brian Fenton is doing, or players of that ilk, whether it be James McCarthy in the past, even Lee Keegan for Mayo in the past, when the game is in the melting pot, when you need to beat a big opponent, you need big players doing exceptional things for you. And Tyrone have not had that. They have not got that. And maybe it is just because maybe their standout players are not at the absolute top level, whereas they have a panel of 30 that Mickey has put together that are really, really good, really tactically aware footballers, well-conditioned footballers. But when it comes down to going out there and grabbing that game by the scruff of the neck, they haven't that quality to do it.
Yeah. Mickey Hart, Kieran.
It's a tough one. Probably the players, and you get the feeling off the players, and he's been such a loyal, he brought success that the county had never seen before. He had an amazing team. He lost that team. He's rebuilt another team. He's been in a semi final in 15, a semi final in 17, a final in 18, a semi final again in 19. Mm. There's good young players coming through there all the time, and they're not far off. They were right in that game yesterday. They were leading by 12 points to 10 in the 52nd minute, and the game changed in 3 or 4 minutes yesterday. Tommy Walsh had come on. He won a great ball in the 53rd minute, gave it off to David Moore, and David popped it over the bar. He comes out in the 54th minute, wins another one, gives it to Clifford. Clifford kicks a point, turns around, celebrates the fans. The colour and the flags went up around the stadium. The hairs were nearly standing in the back of your neck. It was only 12 all, but it felt like Tommy had created this bit of a surge. And then Stephen O'Brien, who's been lauded for his offensive work, and everybody says, yeah, he's a good defender, but, his work rate and his running ability this year has been absolutely sensational. He's back helping. He's back in the full back line helping. And next minute, he's up the field scoring a goal. Ganey's pass for the goal was just, he drew in bodies. He was elusive. He'd vision. And again, that's what I was talking about with Kerry in the second half. That hand pass from him, like, that's a very hard skill to do. And it'd go unnoticed by a lot. But to do that pass, that distance with the arc, and to land in Stephen O'Brien's lap where he could just literally get it, transfer to his left foot and score, that was huge. And he's really flying, Paul Ganey, and it's brilliant to see for as a Kerry fan. The next play out, Dave Moore wins a kick out, and it goes into Stephen O'Brien, and he kicks a brilliant score on his left, and just shows the confidence that he's playing with at the moment. And Kerry's body language changed. Tommy Walsh was all of a sudden, he was horsing into people, he was winning ball, he was intimidating, he was strong. And you Tyke Morley, the opposite end of the pitch, number three, starting to dive in, intercepting ball, turning guys over, getting up and getting good physical presence in the face of Tyrone attackers, like they're very used to doing, and almost introduced it to the game. And that body language is infectious, and I felt the two of them, Morley and Walsh, they led the charge. And I think along with Moore in the middle, that's a pivotal axis for you to be going well. And I think then Clifford and O'Brien and all these fellas just started to soar into the game. And the exhibition of point ticket, I think 11 attempts and 9 points at one stage of it was pretty impressive in the second half. And look, if you're to compete with Dublin, you need that kind of 80 to 85 or 90% accuracy in your shots. It takes patience, it takes good decision making, it takes good skill execution. And Kerry, I'm sure, will be working on that for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Billy Joe, the final. Nobody really expects anything other than a Dublin win here, and probably a very handsome Dublin win here.
I think so. It's going to be extremely difficult for Kerry when you look at the pace that Dublin can play at. When you look at all areas of the field, maybe bar that Kerry full forward line, Dublin are well ahead in terms of the development of the team. And maybe the only hope you would give Kerry is that the quality they have in the forward line through Ganey and Clifford, and I think they will need to start Tommy Walsh because they need to go to occupy as many of those Dublin defenders as possible. And they're probably going to need to put in a sort of a heroic, energetic performance around the middle of the field that we haven't seen from Kerry yet, because you're going to, maybe Jack Sherwood had a good impact, he's a good athlete, Gavin White came on as well, he's another good athlete. Players like that are probably going to have to start against Dublin because you have to be able to run with Dublin. And if you don't, they'll just run you off the field. But at the same time, I think they can maybe learn something from the things that Mayo did well in terms of keeping hold of possession and being sure in possession, not trying to panic. All the Kerry footballers have a high skill level. They should be able to keep hold of the ball. For me, the question for Kerry, will they be able to create enough scores to outscore Dublin? Because we know that Dublin, when they need to, against a Kerry defence that has looked shaky at times throughout this season, and again in the first half, the last day, Dublin are just going to get a big score in this game.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. That, I must say, Kieran, that's what jumped out at me more than anything, is that Dublin are going to rack up a big score against this Kerry defence. I can't see any other outcome.
They're going to be, of course, big favourites, and they deserve that tag big time because of what they're going for. And, of course, it's going to take a special performance from Kerry. But a lot of these guys have given special performances over the years, yeah. And it's going to take a massive collective. And, you know, Peter Keane and his management team have been very shrewd all year. And, you know, I agree with Billy Joe. You need to start Walsh. He needs to be there. Just his presence and his leadership, his experience. And I think, you know, if you get James O'Donoghue back for the final, along with Killian Spillane as the guy that's going to come in for Tommy with maybe 10 to go, he's you know, that'll be, you know, they're the five guys I see for the full forward line. Obviously, Ganey and Clifford, you don't really want to be taking them off against Dublin because they're both fit, they're both flying, they're both strong guys, they're both well able for 70 minutes on the inside line. And, you know, but you just got to go with Tommy because he'll keep Dublin honest. He'll give Dublin a bit of a headache before who they put on him. And if he can lead out in front, and if we can maybe surprise them from, you know, maybe a few crossfield passes rather than diagonal balls coming from the 45, if they're a bit closer in, you were kicking it on the inside of your boot across to Tommy, you know, he could cause problems in there. He did very well in the league game in Tralee. But, you know, look, it's a huge battle and it's a huge uphill climb, but... you know, I wouldn't mind being in the Kerry dressing room as a player. They've no pressure. They're, you know, there's no expectancy of them. Even down here in Kerry, there'd be very little talk or pressure on them to win. Yeah. It'll just be kind of
shot
fresh
to nothing.
To go out and just try and, yeah, shot to nothing. They're a learning team. They're very young and they're coming.
And could being in an All-Ireland final and things going very badly knock a team back a couple of years? Say just, you know, you were saying Kerry could go in and things could go for them. They could also go in and have one of those days where things don't go for you and Dublin ruthlessly put them away and really put a score on them. Could that knock a team back? Would you have any fear that it might not actually be a good thing for this young team to be in a final, or is it just a good learning experience regardless?
Oh, no. It's look, All-Ireland finals, you know... they're a special event. They're a special event in your life, in your family's life. You've a 3-week build-up, and you know them fellas will come and they'll give it their best, and they'll represent Kerry to the best of their ability. And you know, you'll be expecting that this Dublin team will do what they normally do and take care of business. And Kerry will, you know, of course, learn from an experience like that. And you know, they're a young team. They're learning all the time. And you know, they've had a few tough years and they've had a few tough losses since the All-Ireland in 14. So, you know, it's not like they've not been anywhere. A lot of these young fellas don't know anything but winning at minor level. And so they'll be looking forward to the chance. It's, as I said, look, it's a great feeling to be able to go into a game with zero expectation on you as a Kerry footballer with the history and tradition and how used we are of going to Croke Park with that expectancy to win. That'll be a very that'll be kind of a weight off the players' shoulders that there's so little expectation of them in their own land, never mind in national media where you know the it'll be interesting to see what Paddy Power put up as the spread, but Dublin covered it very well at the weekend.
Yeah, they did. Billy Joe, what do you expect from Kerry in the final? You half referenced they might look at what Mayo did in the first half. Is there an element where, like, let's just keep the ball and try and frustrate the hell out of Dublin and at least let the thought of five in a row cross their mind during the game? Is there anything they can almost spring on Dublin?
No, I don't think they can surprise Dublin in any way. But I do think that, in general, Dublin over the last number of years have been quite cautious to start games.
Yeah.
And if Kerry win enough possession around the middle of the field and if they hold on to it, you could have quite a cagey opening quarter where, you know, you're 4-all, 5-all, situations like that.
Yeah.
And Dublin are happy. Dublin are absolutely happy in those situations because they know they get stronger as the game goes on, and they know that they have shown in the past that they have held their nerve better than any other team when it gets into the later stages. And I don't expect the 5-in-a-row talk to get in any way to get to these players unless Kerry players start to do something special, and that's where you look at Clifford and Ganey. Yeah. Can they do something out of the extraordinary? Can he go and score 2-6 or 3-6 like he did in, or you know, 4-4 he got in a minor final? It will take a superhuman effort from players like that for Kerry to have a chance, and it's an awful pressure to put on a young player like that, but that's what's going to be necessary if Kerry are going to win the game. I do think if the game starts off, if Kerry start off really, really quickly and get into a lead, I think it could be even more dangerous for Kerry, because then I think you see Dublin throw the shackles off, open up the playbook and do what they did to Mayo in the second half from the off the bat. And then that will lead to a much more enjoyable game of football. But you could see Dublin just slow carry away, you know, in the middle of that game.
You're literally painting no scenario here where the outcome is good for Kerry. What about Mayo before we leave things then for the weekend? It'll be a while before we talk about them again. James Horan said, Billy Joe, you know, there's going to be a fair few changes. It could be one of those winters. Interestingly, Malachy Kirkan had it today. The Mayo team that started on Saturday was younger than the Dublin team that started on Saturday. And the Mayo team that finished on Saturday was also younger than the Dublin team that finished on Saturday. So, you know, in the midst of a relatively successful season for Mayo, particularly latterly, Horan has added a very respectable number of new faces.
No doubt, and I trust Malachy to surprise us. I saw that as well, and it was pleasantly surprising for Mayo supporters. And I think you're right. What James Horan has done really well throughout his managerial career is blood and bring young players up to the required standard. And in a really short space of time, you see Sean McDonough, Matty Ruan, James Carr in particular this season to have come on and did really well. Well, Matty Ruan, what he did was exceptional considering how little football he's played in the last weeks, and to be able to survive for whatever 75, 76 minutes against the best team we've ever seen. And James Horan will need those three players and the players that continue to carry on, because I think there will be some retirements, to grow and develop and improve even more. And he'll need to find a couple more if Mayo are going to have a quick turnaround next year. But it may be a case that it may require James Horan taking this Mayo panel for two or three seasons before he can blood enough younger players that he has built a new team, because it's going to be very hard to build a new team overnight if you have retirements of some of the quality of players that Mayo have there. And I'm not saying that they should all retire on their own terms whenever it suits them, because many of them have had really good years. You know, Cullen Boyle, exceptional. Andy Moran has been brilliant coming off the bench. Players like that may still feel that they have something to offer, and if they do, great. I'd be delighted to see them back. But at the same time, I think James is the right man for developing young talent, and he's proven that already.
Okay, lads, we'll leave it there. Kieran Donaghy, Billy Joe Padden, thanks very much. GAA on Off the Ball.